Here at 24, we've been talking about grace, and we've talked about grace coming to us, and we've been studying Romans, and we're actually on our fourth session now, and we've been talking about this real grace. Are you living it? And a lot of times we find ourselves in a tug of war. You know what? I'm going to have to pause for a second, because I did a PowerPoint presentation, but I forgot to give it to you guys. And I'm going to have to walk to my office and get it. So, why don't you guys sing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, until I get back. Okay? Case in my office instead of bring it with me everywhere I go. And I forgot this important part. So, anyhow, back to grace. We struggle a lot of times with the tug of war between law and grace, and how we look at others, how we look at ourselves, and how we look at God. And a lot of times that causes us to go back and forth. Which one do I live under? And Paul and God is really calling us to that balance tip towards grace to others, towards grace for ourselves. Debbie read the verse that is really the hinge point of Romans that tips us towards that grace. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit set me free from the law of sin and death. We do a little bit of review from the past messages that I have spoken about. And we see that grace really reveals the truth about who we are and who God is. Just the simple statement that I'm a sinner, we all are sinners saved by God's grace. We also see that a lot of times when we look at ourselves and others, many times we are judged, and this is number four, Dan, we are judged by the works that we do. And we start to live as human doings instead of human beings. Our worth is determined by our work. Our product that we produce is then judged by others, and we are then qualified or not qualified. How many balls we can juggle at the same time protects us. The more we can juggle, the more we can do. It protects us against judgment from others. But really, God is coming and He's saying, all belong to me. Come and sit underneath His wonderful grace. We also here saw that in all of Paul's letters, all 13 of them, he always gives the greeting of what? Grace and peace. You see that 13 times. Can you say that 13 times? Grace and peace, 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 grace and peace. Do you say that to one another? Or do you, when you walk into your office, say, hey, what are they wearing today? What are they going to do to me? No, we don't live in that grace and peace, but that's where God wants you to live. And so we talked about this welcoming spirit. And did you get number four there, Dan? 4A. Sorry, I had to shorten it down. The welcoming spirit. And we really, in our church and in our congregation and everywhere we go, want to have a welcoming spirit. A spirit that really promotes this grace and peace to one another. We talked about some of this is that we don't want to be icy, okay? We want to be more warm, like these marshmallows around the fire. The one song that we were singing had three candles that were glowing at the same time. That's the ideal of promoting warmth to one another. And you know what? Some days that is difficult because you just don't feel good. And you come and there's a little bit of edge on you, and you actually start promoting something other than grace and peace. But really, Paul is calling us to, and God is calling us to, to welcome people. And we see that very much in the Christmas theme. Always Christmas brings this welcoming grace and peace type feeling. Last week we talked about Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Do we have that up here, Dan? And verse 16 said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation for all, everyone who believes. Salvation. We have to really just ask the question, why do I need salvation? Why do I need the power to be saved? Why do I need to be saved? It's very simple. Sin. And in our outlines, that's the first word you get to write in there, is sin. Romans 6:32 says that the wages of sin is death. And if this sin brings death, we sometimes wonder, well, is that really true? Does it really bring death? And a lot of times I qualify it as bringing death in different ways. I say press with an E. P-R-E-S-S-E. A lot of times sin will bring death in the physical realm, relational realm, our emotions, sexual, spiritual, economical. Just some of what Debbie testified to that poor woman and what she went through. A lot of times we say, oh, that's probably because those people were not educated. Or they had poor management of their lifestyle. Or they were just confused for some reason. But we forget to mention that the main reason was because of sin. Sin brings death. You know, I think about the financial crisis that we're in, and I don't know everything about it, but a lot of us would not say that this financial crisis was caused by sin. We would say things like people mismanage their money. We would say that there was too many houses built that were way over cost, and we kind of wonder, well, why were there too many houses built that we're way over cost? Do we ever think of the term greed? See, the more houses I build for a higher price, look at the overhead I'm gonna get. This is awesome. Oh, wait a minute. That's not called greed. That's called just managing my money well. This then causes people to, a lot of times, they want a house that's bigger than actually they can afford. And they end up not really thinking all through it clearly and buy something more than they can afford. Plus, loan companies, they're thinking, hey, this is working good for me. I'm not really going to take care of them. I'm just going to loan this money no matter what the APR is, whatever, and we're going to get some money going. Well, it all starts to cause this snowball effect where then now we move into recession. People are losing their homes. Do you ever think about what happens when sin and greed and all of this comes about? How do you think children feel when all of a sudden they have to move a home? How do mom and dad feel? How do you think the marriage is going? Oh, this is a wonderful... No, there's starting to be financial stress. Marriages start breaking up. Kids start feeling the effect. They got to move to new schools. And then we kind of justify it by something else. But when it comes down to it, it's sin. I was listening to APR News as I was driving here on Friday, and it was so interesting that one hometown heritage loan company, 95% of their loans, they're having no problem with. There's no foreclosures for them. It's going great. In fact, this year has been the best year ever with big, large banks, AIG, other loan companies, Citibank, Bank of America, all of them taking big hits. This hometown heritage loan company is doing great. Why? because the way that they loan money and who they loan money to. You know, say this is a bit silly, but it's true. They loan 95% of all their loans to the Amish. They said they've never had any of them default on a loan. And you know, Amish, they don't deal with loans. They deal all with cash. The only time they get a loan is when they have to buy land. For some reason, there's something different going on. And I would say it is the absence of a sinful style of life. We have a problem. Sin brings death. Good. Okay, we're up and running. Let's hit it one more time. I'll do my... Okay. Problem. Sin brings death. Okay? Now, we ask, well, why does sin bring death? Because if we say God is life and sin separates us from God, that means we're separated from life, and therefore we die. The next word we need to write in there in our outlines is God. Sin separates us from God. And here's an example that we have. An example, the best example I could think of was scuba diving. This man is probably 20, 30 meters or more underneath the ocean. He can stay down there because of his scuba, self-contained underwater breathing apparatus, which is stuck to his back. It has oxygen. It goes to him. He can breathe. What would happen if he was separated from his self-contained underwater breathing apparatus? He would, you know, no air. And if we as humans do not have air for, you know, some of us, 1 minute, maybe, I'm 30 seconds, maybe you're a minute, some like 5 minutes have gone, you know, all the way. If we do not have air, if we are separated from it, we die. That is the same concept of which we're talking about in sin. Is that when we're separated from our life source, God, Jesus, we begin to die. And again, this person, if they were separated from their breathing apparatus, would not immediately die. They would be able to survive for a few minutes. But eventually, the secret is for all of us, whether you know it or not, I don't like to think about it sometimes, we all will die. We have a problem. We need a solution. Again, our solution is what? Better education. More willpower, son. You give it more effort, you'll be okay. Government funding. Right? That's going to take care of all the problems. No. It's going to help, but no, it's not going to take care of our problem. Because our problem is sin, and we cannot solve the problem ourselves. We need something outside of ourselves. Just like the man is scuba diving. He's not going to survive underneath there forever. He needs something outside of himself. We also need something outside and above ourselves. We need Jesus. Simply said, sin brings death. Jesus brings life. These are just key terms to write in your outline there. Life. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." What did Jesus do? Jesus said, and the only one to do this, is said, "I'll take your sin upon myself. I will nail it to the cross so that you can be saved. You can be free. And you can have life and life eternal." In our introduction here, Paul gives an introduction of himself in Romans. He goes on to share some more. It's one of the longest introductions. And we would think after the introduction, he would start talking immediately about the most important item, grace. But when we open our Bibles and we look at verse 18 in chapter 1, we see that he starts with the biggest problem that the world has. And no, it's not the financial crisis. No, it's not bailouts. It's sin. You know, when we watch the evening news, we always see, and I wish it was more joyful, a lot of times it's not, all the problems. And we never hear, well, I just say we hear about bad mismanagement, we hear about racial conflicts, we hear about lack of education, but we never hear them say, that's because that person would choose to follow sin instead of follow Jesus. The day that I hear that on the news, man, I'm going to like roll over and just fall off my chair. We don't hear that. It's only in the Bible that we hear this concept come out, is that we actually have a problem of sin. We go on, and today we are going to read verses 18 through 32, and I think we have them up here. Listen to this and try to take it in as I read through it. It says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven. And when we say the wrath of God, we're saying this righteous anger. Something is making him angry. What is it? Against all godlessness and wickedness, of sin is making him angry, of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. What has been made? You go out and you have a walk through the woods, or you go to the Smoky Mountains or the Rocky Mountains. Many times when I look at you, I see God. It's a testimony that God is real. Verse 21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Then Paul gets more specific. He says, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even there, women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Verse 28, he talks about other sins. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind, to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree, that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. The very last verse, though. Although they know that God is there, and that they, if they do not follow him, that it deserves death, but they continue to choose to follow what is sinful. Back to our scuba diver. Now, how many of you, if you were underwater, somebody threw you and pulled you down 20 feet, 30 feet, and all of a sudden beside you, you saw this self-contained underwater breathing apparatus beside you, would look at it and say, hey, I can't get back to the top, I'm going to try to use this. How many of you maybe would give it a shot? Okay. Or how many of you, at least, maybe if you didn't even know how to use it, that you would think in your mind, that could help me. Okay. This is what Paul is saying here in this Romans passage. No, he's not talking about scuba diving gear. He's talking about that everyone has an understanding or knowledge that, yeah, this is something good. This is something I could use to have life. That God can bring life to me. And some may choose to use it, some may not. Some may not know how to use it. But they have the knowledge and understanding that it is good and brings life. Many times we do the same thing. I do the same thing. I'm like, man, that's good. God, He wants me to do this. But, man, that over there looks really good too. And I might try that. So if we take just like a scenario, we'll call Bob, if there's anyone here, Bob, no offense, but we'll just say Bob. And God says to Bob, here, Bob, take this oxygen tank since you're, you know, 30 meters under the water so that you can live and have life to the fullest. And Bob sees this hot cutie swim by. And Bob says, no, I like that better, and swims after her. Only to find out that he's lacking for air a few seconds later. But the desire, the heart, has led him away from that what can bring life. Or we'll just say Sally, if there's one in Sally here, no offense, just an example. But here's Sally, take the oxygen, take Jesus so you can live. And she's underneath there, and but she sees that gold chest, which is at the bottom of every ocean. And she swims after that gold chest. The money is there. The gold is there. That will bring me happiness. Only to find out a few seconds later that she's out of air. That death has come to her. It says that here God gave them over. In verse 24, we see the term, therefore God gave them over in sinful desires of their heart. Verse 26, we see that because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust or passions. Verse 28, it says it gave them over to a depraved mind, this wrong thinking. And a lot of times we'll look at this and we'll say, well, this means that God caused them to sin. Or we'll say that it caused, God abandoned them to sin. But this is not what it means. It's very clear that they had already began in a wickedness, in an unrighteousness, uncleanness. That they had made choices, that they had swum over to the beautiful swimmer, or the gold. And God is now allowing them to continue. Still holding the self-contained underwater breathing apparatus for them, but also allowing them to swim away. It reminds me of the story of the prodigal son, which many of us have heard about, that the father had a lot to give to his sons, and one son said, give me the inheritance. And the father, who's kind of sensing and understanding that if I give this son the inheritance, he will go and he will probably use it in a wrong way. But he gave the son over to the inheritance. And the son took it, and it says he squandered it on wild living. Squandered it on the things of the world, the things that he thought would bring him joy and happiness. But we see that he quickly has come to a point where he's feeding the pigs and he doesn't even have enough for him to eat, and he wished that he could eat what the pigs were eating. Somehow sin brings us to that point. The son had made a choice. The son had taken the inheritance. We all have choices. But this does not mean necessarily that his father caused him to go and do those things. It does not mean that the father abandoned him. The truth is that the father stood there on the porch day after day waiting for his son to come home. And it says when his son came home, he ran to him and embraced him Paul goes on to talk about the different type of sins that we get into. And verse 28 down through 32 talks about many different vices and sins. But he takes a specific sin here in 24 and 26 and 27 especially. It says there, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received themselves the due penalty of their perversion. What are we talking about here? We're talking about homosexuality or the homosexual lifestyle. We just saw, some of you probably, as you're surfing the net or if you read Newsweek, the article about how the Bible actually, in a sense, can promote a homosexual lifestyle. This verse is actually says very much the opposite. I'm not sure how they missed that one. Just to make some statements here, and all of them, I believe, are true, is homosexuality is not genetic. There's been a political and a propaganda scheme to get us to believe that it is genetic. The proof for genetics of homosexuality is that two identical twins would have the exact same tendencies. There has never been found to have any identical twins, one being homosexual, the other one must be if it is genetic. There never has been. It'd be the same as having one child come out with blue eyes and the other one not. For identical twins, they both come out with blue eyes. Homosexuality is connected with social and environmental elements. It's very true. The fact is that for each of us, we are connected to our environment and our social aspect, and it will make us up. I have this weird sense of humor. I like joking. I get that from my grandma, I get that from my dad, because I was forced to hang out with them. The same thing happens many times to us, and it happens to those who begin a homosexual lifestyle. Many times we see, and when we talk to those who are engaging in homosexuality or have these tendencies, many times we see an absent father, or a father who is abusive. A lot of times, maybe we'll see a mother that was overly harsh. This a lot of times causes either, if a father is absent or abusive, or the mother is overly harsh, many times we'll see this cause, we'll just take the female or the daughter, for example, them to react in one or two ways. The point comes down that we all have a love tank and we want to be filled with love. Is anyone here that does not want to be loved? If you don't want to be loved, more than likely you've been hurt in some way, and you say that it's not safe to be loved. The same thing comes to a daughter who has been treated harshly by their mother. They see that this harshness, they receive no love from their mother. Or from a father who was absent, they're asking, what is love from a man? They then engage in two ways. One, they find a man who gives them love, and usually men give that love in a sexual way, and they say, oh, this must be love. And they begin in sexual practices with a man over and over again, only to find themselves empty at the end of every relationship. Or they find love on the other side from a female. The daughter finds love from another female and says, oh, this must be love. This person loves me. My dad treated me harshly, and so did my mother. This person must be loved. The third point here, homosexuals or those with homosexual feelings and tendencies are real people with real feelings and struggles, just like you and I. They have this tendency, they have this thing that leads them in this way. Some of us have anger problems. Some of us have alcoholic problems. It leads us in this way. But every one of us still has real feelings and struggles. homosexuality, last fourth, is a sin. We are called still to love those who are homosexual and called to God's love and truth and salvation. So many times we take and we instead of walking through the journey with them, we abandon them when we should be coming beside them. How does homosexuality lead to death if it is a sin? Homosexual leads to death in just the first fact of physical or the reproduction and producing of children. Just a male and a male get together, a female and female get together, we know that children will not be produced. Yes, there are medical and surgical ways now to take care of that. But in the natural way, children will not be produced. If no children are produced in our world, our basically human race will die off. This brings death. Also, relationally in the family. Family, now the definition of them has been confused. Husband, wife, child. That's what I believe the definition is. But if there is no husband or no male figure for the wife and the children, there ends up being something missing. We don't know how to explain it, but there just is. If mother is absent from the family, there is something missing. Part of the child is confused about the other gender. If a daughter grows up without a father, they're always wondering about the male. How should they act? How should they behave? How should they treat me? If a son grows up with a father, the same way. How should I behave when I grow up to be a husband? What should I do? Either way, there's something missing. In Taiwan, at my church, we had two homosexuals that were involved in our church. I'm still very good friends with them, and so is Meilan. They both come out of their homosexual lifestyle. The first one, very much in her family, there was not much love at all. Her mother was the strict Asian mom who was more worried about the things of life rather than showing love to her daughter. Of course, the sons got plenty of encouragement and love, but the daughter did not. The daughter found that love through another woman. She has come out of that lifestyle, homosexuality. Now she serves on one of the major Christian agencies that helps in Taiwan. The other lady who is now studying in New Zealand in seminary has also come out of the homosexual lifestyle. Her father was an alcoholic. Her stepfather abused her. Her uncle sexually abused her. She got into drugs. She had sex with many men. And finally found a love in a homosexual lifestyle. My heart breaks for each of these ladies when we would talk with them. Just knowing that part of their life, what God intended for them through their mom and dad, even though they had a mom and dad, was missing. That they were treated in a wrong way. That other people's sin upon them caused them to then engage in other sins. One of them, just one of them, being homosexuality. Paul goes on to talk about other vices that are hurt God's heart. He lists those down through 28 through 32. So we talked today that sin causes death. Some of those sins we can see very obvious. One is murder. How does murder cause death? Pretty obvious. Others we do not see so obvious. Envy. How would envy cause death? I remember reading one article 10 years ago about a kid who was found laying along railroad tracks with his tennis shoes gone, his Air Jordans. Someone had killed him for his shoes. Deceit. lies, not telling the truth, this breaks relational trust and it kills relations. Happens to almost all of us. Arrogance is listed there, and also boastfulness. Any of you football fans? Terrell Owens, I think is his name. He's a little bit prideful, a little bit boastful. He would go and dance in the center of the football stadium, pawn people's logos, stamp on them. He would spit in other people's face. He's now moved from three different NFL teams. He's currently with the Dallas Cowboys, and now he's having problems with them. Again, it's his quarterback, Tony Romo's fault, not his. Death in the relationship. Death to the team. Their team was good last year. This year, they're not doing so well. Time has escaped again. We end just with a quick review. Why do we need to be saved? Why do we need this grace which God gives us through His Son? Because sin brings death and Jesus brings life. We exchange the truths of God for a lie, for sin, and we die. Let's pray. Father God, for some reason we all have a tendency to lean towards sins. We see things of the world and we swim after them only to find out that we've lost breath and we can't breathe and part of us dies. God, for each of us, we have our own struggles and our own sins, God, and we ask that you would come near us. Today, God, if anyone does not know you, I ask that they would come to know you. God, that they would just say, Jesus, I want you. I want your life. I don't understand it all, Lord, but I understand and know enough that I want to begin to walk with you. So, Jesus, come into my heart today. Fill me with your grace and that freedom and that love that I know is there. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, God. Forgive me of my sins. I love you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray.